Hello everyone. This is a great transition to this research, which we did some similar things regarding quality of life in this case, transitioning into a certain program. So my name is Mohammed, as she introduced, and I've been with the Health Policy Center for about 3 years, and we have conducted a few ad hoc studies that we presented at APHA that might also be of interest to the group if you need references to those. This presentation is entitled Money Follows the Person, a Long-Term Impact for Program Participants. And it built, and I have no financial relationships to disclose. This research builds on quality of life studies as well as quality of life studies within LTSS. And we're looking at quality of life outcomes experienced by three consumer populations in the Money Follows the Person program, which are individuals with physical disabilities, individuals with developmental disabilities, and older adults. Georgia is one of 46 states, and I believe Florida dropped out, so I think it's 45 sites at this point, that participate in the Money Follows the Person Rebalancing Demonstration Program, which is funded by the Center for Medicare and Medicaid Services. MFP utilizes about $4 billion, and it seeks to shift Medicaid long-term spending by transitioning individuals from institutional care settings like nursing homes and mental health institutions to community settings. The program is unique in that it provides Medicaid participants with services that otherwise wouldn't have been covered, for example, things like rental deposits and home modifications. My team and I at the Georgia Health Policy Center work with the Georgia Department of Community Health, and that's the state Medicaid agency, and we're the external evaluator for this program. We conduct 1 and 2 year post-transition interviews with the participants of belonging to all of these populations, and we use a quality of life survey instrument that is developed by Mathematica Policy Research, which is required by all MFP participating entities nationally. For the past 5 years, we've performed quantitative analyses on the data, and when we examine this, we've been looking at every single question. The survey has about 42 questions. We send those reports, semi-annual and annual reports, looking at single questions within the data, and we see that we saw some experiences, different experiences with quality of life pre-transition, as well as 1 year and 2 years after transition, which led us to our research question. Our research question is basically wanting to explore how does quality of life change among participants of the Money Follows the Person program the longer they live in the community. To define what quality of life is and how we use that, we looked at quality of life variables based on two components. The first one is the Reinhardt et al. Quality of life measures that are, or how quality of life is impacted and enhanced based on following certain conditions within long-term services and supports. Those conditions would be that the long-term services and supports are safe and effective, that consumers' personal dignity and preferences are respected, the long-term services and supports workforce is large enough and trained to accommodate consumer needs, consumers are engaged and integrated in the community, and that regulatory standards are created and upheld to ensure quality service delivery. The survey that we're actually using with Mathematica has 7 domains that are also have different questions that we're asking within the 42 questions. Those domains are living arrangement, personal care, respect and dignity, choice and control, community integration, life satisfaction, and psychosocial health status. So what we did, we crosswalked the Reinhardt conditions as well as the Mathematica domains, and decided to focus our research question on the more overlapping three, which are safety, community integration, and respect. Safety had 1 question that focused on that, whereas community integration we used 6 and had an alpha value of 0.61, and with respect we used 2 questions and had an alpha value of 0.73 in our factor analysis. So anything over 0.5 tells us that these questions are one factor and related together meaningfully to use as part of our scale. We used a 10-point scale and to measure quality of life. And some of the questions, just to show you what we used or what we asked, safety, do you feel safe living here? And respect, do the people who help you treat you the way you want to be treated? Do the people who help you listen to you carefully to what you ask them to do? Community integration had the 6 questions that we used. Can you see your friends and family when you want to see them? Can you get to the places you need to go, like work, shopping, or doctor's office? Is there anything you want to do outside of your home or where you're living that you cannot do right now? Do you get to go out to do fun things in the community? When you want to go somewhere, can you just decide and go, or do you have to plan some, or do you have to plan many days ahead and ask people for help? And lastly, do you miss things or have to change plans because you didn't have a way to get around easily? Those are the 6 that we used for community integration. So our demographics, we used, the sample was 284 individuals belonging to the 3 groups that we talked about. And those are people who we matched the surveys for, people who took all baseline survey, year 1 survey, and year 2 survey. So our sample typically is larger for people who have taken either 1 or 2 of the surveys. Of course, for us, it's meaningful when we're doing our analysis to look at people who have completed at least 2 surveys. So whether that's baseline to year 1, baseline to year 2, or year 1 to year 2. This is unique in the sense that we're actually looking at the 3 time points, which is why we decided to look at to see if time has an effect on quality of life. Our sample included, of the 284, 54.2 were male. The average age was 52.9. The 57.1 lived in a group home or nursing facility. 61.3 had developmental disabilities. 29.9 had physical disabilities, and 8.8 were older adults. And the sample is from 2009, November 2009 to April 2012. So we used a repeated measure, ANOVA, to measure the 3 time points, to measure if there's an effect on time over the 3 time points. We ran the ANOVA, so we're comparing the matched means from baseline to year 1 to year 2, and the independent variable in this case is time, and the QOL score is the dependent variable. We found that there was some kind of effect of time over QOL, and so that prompted us to do the post hoc analysis to see where that change is actually taking place. So looking at our post hoc analysis, we found a significant, statistically significant association between year 1 to year 2 means. As in, when we were, between baseline and year 1, and then baseline and year 2. So we did not find a significant association between year 1 and year 2 itself, but we definitely had a change of quality of life when comparing the baseline with each of the year 1 and year 2 scores separately. This is unique because it, or this does support our previous research and literature generally, that supports the fact that going into the community, transitioning into the community outside of institutional care settings, does increase quality of life. This tells us that Money Follows the Person program is able to support participants and effectively situate them in the community. Participants feel the effect of the program even when the financial support is no longer available. This is important in the sense that, so, in year 2, participants don't actually get the funds to do anything, but within the first year of transition, they do have some of that money that they used as they're planning their move to make home modifications, to whatever deposits or money that is needed to acquire equipment and things like that. That is not the case after the first year, yet we still saw that there was a maintained high level of quality of life, or an increased level of quality of life in year 2. Findings reinforced our continued efforts, CMS's continued efforts, to provide participants with the setting of their choice, particularly that they're obligated to support people with disabilities and older adults into putting them into less restrictive settings. And so that does support that. Generally, basically, at this point, we saw from this, even though we're looking at those 3 domains, that we do have an increase in quality of life, and that increase is maintained within the second year. There could be differences within each of those domains, which we're not reporting here. And we also have research that shows us how different subpopulations experience quality of life differently. So if people are interested in that, We do have that. Some of our limitations, which are not necessarily highlighted in this case, but do include the fact that we do have proxies and that the proxies are mostly focusing on the developmental disabled. So most people we interview with developmental disabilities are going to be more so proxies or like caregivers, whether family or care coordinators or service providers, than the other two populations. And that's another topic we can discuss. I would like to acknowledge my colleague Brittany Romanson, who actually led the statistical analysis and research. Thank you.
Thank you.